Real quick, before we get into the show, I wanted to share a new service called Getida that Ken and I have been using that has made us over $10,000 in Amazon reimbursements. The service requires no monthly subscription, and Getida collects a small percentage of the money they recover for you. It takes less than 5 minutes to set up and works on all Amazon marketplaces. Go to Getida.com, G-E-T-I-D-A, and enter promo code FTM400. That's FTM for firing the man 400 to get your first $400 in reimbursements commission free. How much money does Amazon owe you?
Welcome everyone to the Firing the Man podcast, a show for anyone who wants to be their own boss. If you sit in a cubicle every day and know you are capable of more, then join us. This show will help you build a business and grow your passive income streams in just a few short hours per day. And now your hosts, serial entrepreneurs, David Schomer and Ken Wilson.
Welcome everyone to the Firing the Man podcast. On today's episode, Ken and I review 2022 in regards to the performance of our e-commerce businesses. This year was full of big wins and huge losses, both of which we will be addressing throughout the episode. Ken, what's going on, man?
David, how you doing, man? I'm excited to be in the podcast studio and share with everyone 2022 results. Did we hit our goals? Did we not? Yeah, it's been a couple of months since we've been in the studio taping. So just excited to share everything with the listeners today.
Definitely, definitely. So I would say a couple of things at a high level. We're going to dive into some detail, but here's what I'll say. Amazon businesses are doing well in this post-COVID era. We had a lot of people that never had an Amazon Prime subscription that now do. And I think e-commerce is just becoming more of a way of life, is ordering things online. And I think COVID kind of helped with that. And so we have seen like an overall pickup in terms of volume and shoppers, which I think it has been a good thing. So that's just kind of a high level observation I have about 2022. How about you?
Yeah, same. You know, the shopping, the trend, there's still a lot of road in terms of like e-commerce, retail to e-commerce. There's a lot of road left to make gains. And it was kind of a weird year in terms of, you know, post-COVID, everything is kind of settling down. You know, you had freight going down, but you've got a lot more competition. So yeah, it was an interesting year for sure.
Absolutely. Now, at the beginning of the year, we started off by asking ourselves the question, how do we grow these companies? And there's kind of two avenues that we identified. One was, let's launch more products. Or the other option was, let's expand internationally. Let's go into international marketplaces. And we opted for that second option. And so this year, we expanded into Canada, UK, Germany, as well as Walmart. And boy, has that been an adventure. I would say things have taken, it has been a longer process than I thought it would be. However, now that we're kind of on the other side of this international expansion, I'm happy that we have, but still definitely a lot to learn as we do businesses in these other countries. So what are your thoughts there?
Yeah. So, you know, like David mentioned, we laid the groundwork and expanded into international marketplaces and Walmart. It was a challenge, but now that it's done, you know, we can, as we launch products, we can plug them directly into many more sales channels than just one. And so it was, although it took a lot of time, effort, as well as capital to fund all the inventory for these marketplaces, expands our sales channels going into 2023 and beyond, is that as we launch more products, we can plug them right in. And it, you know, it adds a lot more diversity too. If you're just adding more products into one sales channel, you're not as diversified as if you have five sales channels that you're, you know, you're plugging products into. So I'm excited we did it. And, you know, looking into 23, it'll be exciting to kind of ramp those up and really mature those sales channels.
Absolutely. You know, I think a couple of struggles that came from that is inventory. You know, for one particular brand, we loaded up Walmart because we thought Walmart is going to be the Wild West. We're going to be able to crush it here. And 365 days later, we were facing long-term storage fees because those products did not sell. Similarly, in some of the international marketplaces, for instance, in the UK, where we're dealing in the British pound, we had a huge change in foreign exchange rate, in currency, and the US dollar depreciated. And so we had kind of like set our prices and then left them there for a year, the U.S. dollar depreciated against the British pound, and we found at the end of the year we were way overpriced. It's going to take some getting used to dealing and kind of thinking in these different currencies, but overall, I'm glad that we did it. So, you know, as we move through this episode, we're going to talk, this is kind of a high-level review, but we're going to talk about some like big initiatives, big things that went on. And so, Ken, what would you say the first like big thing was that we did this year?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the big things that we changed was advertising. And we really heavily focused on tacos, which is a measurement that we used to look at, never really took action. This year we took action on. And essentially, you know, the tacos reflection of your organic sales versus your advertised sales. And what we found was our tacos was too high, which was impacting our profitability. And so we've made some adjustments, pulled some levers, and decreased our tacos, which in turn decreased our, it cut our ad spend by about 70% across the portfolio companies, which is huge. Now, we took some hit on sales on there, but our profitability increased, which at the end of the day, net profit is what we're after. That's the goal, is what we're after. We're not after, you know, hey, we're, you know, an eight-figure company that's losing money. We don't want to be that. We want to be a company that is solid and resilient and has as much net profit at the end of the day as possible. I would say one of the major changes this year that we made.
Absolutely. And, you know, one thing that we did was we brought PPC in-house, which was helpful, where we have our dedicated PPC manager that's working on all of our accounts. And so that was a little bit easier in terms of cutting ad spend. Previously, we were working with an agency who were compensated a percentage of our ad spend. And that's kind of that type of agency's model, and found that there was not necessarily aligned interests. And so we're happy, I'd speak for myself and say, like, I am glad that we brought it in-house. And it's been nice to put those dollars to work elsewhere in other parts of the business. You know, Amazon's a pay-to-play marketplace, but gosh, there are some good keywords. There are good keywords for your listing that are just too expensive. And it just, at the end of the day, the juice isn't worth the squeeze. And that was kind of an experiment, and I think it worked. So
absolutely. Yeah, no, I am too happy. You know, a couple of other benefits of bringing PPC in-house is that, you know, with an agency model, you know, the account managers have, you know, between 10 and 20 accounts, depending on which agency you're working with. And if they're working a 40-hour week, you're getting not that many hours from them, 4 hours to 8 hours of time at most, right? And now where we have a full-time in-house PPC manager, we're getting 40 hours of work on all, across all of the portfolio companies and all the marketplaces. And I think that synergy also goes well in terms of the strategy on keywords and customers. And so, yeah, very, very happy. So one thing we've added that I'm really excited for, I think it's going to take a while to ramp up, email marketing. And so, you know, if anybody that's listening to the podcast for a long time knows that, you know, David and I founded several native Amazon brands, meaning they started on the Amazon sales channel. And over the years, we've matured them and expanded into different sales channels as we learn and grow in e-commerce. And email marketing was a gap we had. You know, we dabbled in it before, but we never really focused and put time and energy and capital into it. Well, this year we did. We're about 6 months deep into one of our brands. We have a second brand. We're about a month into it. And we have a third brand that will be online by the end of the year. And we've seen tremendous sales velocity coming in from our email marketing efforts. And so it's nice to know that, you know, this will pay dividends years down the road as we ramp and scale this. With email, you can communicate with your customers. You can ask them questions. I mean, there's this, it's endless options that we can use the email marketing for, as well as it's in, you know, those emails you own. That's an asset that you, when you, if you ever choose to sell your business, that's an asset that goes to the table when you're selling your business. So
absolutely. One other benefit of email marketing that we found was when we went to launch products, we literally picked a couple options and asked our audience, what do you like? What do you like more? What would be like the dream setup for this type of product? And we got great responses. I mean, that's business 101, is give the people what they want.
Yeah.
And so that was a great way. You know, we send an email blast out. We probably got 30 to 50 responses on those inquiries. And they were great, like really good responses, good engagement. And, you know, when we go to launch those products, we'll respond to those people and say, hey, we took into account your feedback and here's what we came up with. And that's awesome. So I'm really, really excited about that. And I think as we continue to grow those D2C websites, that's going to be crucial, is building our audience. So
yeah. Absolutely. One pro tip there is just to piggyback on what David mentioned. One thing we did, and if you're doing email marketing and you have a post-purchase email flow set up, pop an email in there, you know, two weeks, 3 weeks down the road, and then ask your customer what other products that they buy that your brand doesn't offer. And that, and then set that as an automation flow, and you'll just get a never-ending response of product ideas. And once, you know, if you log them all, one day you'll look at that and say, oh, wow, I've got 17 people wanting this. Well, that's your next product launch because people are asking for it. So
absolutely. Absolutely. One major initiative that we took on this year, switching gears, is we've opened two manufacturing facilities. One, we started at the, well, I guess it was towards the tail end of 2021, but really ramped up production. Our The first manufacturing facility is doing great. When we first started out, to be totally honest with you, we didn't know what we were doing.
We never do.
Yeah. We were producing about 1,000 units a month, and we had had some machinery breakdown. It was constantly kind of putting out fires. And there's a lot of points during that where I, you know, we talk like, are we doing the right thing? And we kept moving forward. And that facility that was previously doing about 1,000 units a month is now doing about 5,000 units a month with the same number of people. We've really got our manufacturing processes dialed in. We've got backups on machinery. We've learned how expensive it is when the line is shut down. That's been great. We're manufacturing products in the USA, and it overall is something I'm really, really proud of. And so with the success of that came manufacturing facility number two, which made its first products about 5 days ago. And so we're still relatively new to this one, but am really excited about what we'll be able to do and just kind of the benefits of having that in-house.
Absolutely. And to kind of expand on what David said, like, we had thought about, you know, how can we differentiate ourselves from our competitors? And now, whether those competitors are, you know, other D2C brands or whether they're Chinese competitors on Amazon, you know, manufacturing your own products is a really, really huge way to differentiate yourself. There's so many benefits. Just like we talk about this all the time, if barrier to entry, there's not going to be many people that get inside, right? They're not going to figure out how to go over the barrier or around the barrier. Well, there was a lot of challenges with manufacturing, but a lot of credit to David. David spent a lot of time on this, figuring it out, doing all the modeling, and then just taking action. And so, you know, we had hurdle after hurdle after hurdle, but we just solved every problem as they came. And we can go to market with a new product in 2 weeks. And our competitors cannot do that. And so speed to market is one thing that really is an advantage when you self-manufacture, as well as quality. You can monitor your own, you know, you can monitor the quality of your products. We also have a warehouse now that stores our products. And so if we ever have an issue with something, we just go and fix it. We have everything in one place. So it's been really nice. I'm excited to continue down this path of ramping up, you know, manufacturing our in the US and having more control over supply chain from start to finish, or from at least from raw material to end goods. So yeah, that's a huge win for the portfolio companies this year.
Definitely. If you'd like to hear more about this, I'd encourage you to check out episode 124, where we document all the lessons that we learned first year of manufacturing. If this is something that you're thinking about, check out that episode. It's a good one. So moving on, another thing that we did this year was we hired, over the course of 2022, we hired 25 employees. And we don't have 25 active employees. There have been some that have been part-time and have since left. But in total, we made 25 hires and really built out a team. And in episode 138 and 139, we go into detail on every single one of these. If you want to hear about the rogue employee that insisted on bringing his gun into my house, check out that episode. Yeah, a lot of hiring, a lot of interviews. What have been your thoughts there?
Yeah, so this has been one of the most challenging pieces of this year. Also the most rewarding to me. I think, like, you know, today is Friday when we're taping this. We have our end of week meeting on Fridays where the whole team, everybody in the company comes on a meeting, and it's just kind of, you know, we talk about how the week went. We discuss wins, how, you know, lots of stuff. And it's just very rewarding to have everybody in one place, having fun, chatting, talking about goals, and seeing a team that's cohesive, all working together on the same goal. And that was not an easy thing to achieve. It was very difficult. We got better at hiring. I would say we sucked at hiring early on, and we've made some mistakes there, and we've learned and we've improved. Now we have a solid hiring process that's working well. And so, yeah, David mentioned, we've the episodes 138, 139 are some pretty cool stories on those episodes if you want to go back and listen. But yeah, there's at times it's been a shit show, and at other times it's been amazing, where you know, David could go on vacation for 2 weeks and things are getting done when he's gone, and when he comes back, things are better than when he left. And that's kind of our goal, is to build a team that can function with or without us and grow the company. And so we're well on our way of achieving that. And it's very rewarding. Our team is awesome.
If you want tips and strategies on how to start, grow, and monetize your business online, check out the Digital Revolution podcast with Eli Adams. We interview digital experts from around the world that share their personal stories. They talk about what they're currently working on and where they see the future going. But most importantly, they share tactics in their specific area of expertise with the hope of helping you improve your digital presence online. You can listen to the Digital Revolution podcast on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio, or simply click on the link in the show notes below.
Absolutely. Another, I said in the intro, we're going to cover big wins and we're going to cover huge losses. And this next one, I wouldn't necessarily consider it a huge loss, but it was definitely a bummer. We got sued. Yeah. And that was, it was scary. Like, to be honest with you, it's scary. It was something I personally had never gone through. There's a lot of emotion involved in that. Something I don't think people talk a lot about is, like, it's emotionally taxing. And you're trying to make rational, logical decisions, but you're also very frustrated and pissed off. Yeah, it was, you know, we go into great detail on this on episode 145. But Ken, what were your thoughts there?
Yeah. And so, like David, I had never been sued before. I knew I have attorneys in my family. I know people that had been sued. And so it was nerve-wracking, lost sleep over it. It definitely was a distraction from, you know, operating the company. And it was all around a negative experience. But also, at the end of the day, we had that experience now. And so we kind of call that, I can't remember who I stole this from, but he essentially said, any money that he's lost or time is an education fund. Put that in the education fund. And so now we have that in our education fund, where we've learned from that. It sucked. It was painful. But we learned from that, and we're going to be better moving forward on, you know, there was lessons learned there, what to do, what not to do. But the biggest takeaway from that was I think we did a really good job. We kept our emotions out of it, and we put the business first. And said, you know, like, at the end of the day, the emotion piece is there. Like, you know, we wanted to crush somebody, but, you know, we had to peel that away. And professionally, what was best for the company and for the entire team and the company. And I think we made the right decision there. And that was a pretty crazy experience. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Now, what next? What other initiatives do we have going on?
Absolutely. And so I'll bounce this one over to you, David. I'll speak to it a little bit, but we focused on profitability. And so 2022 was a lean year in terms of, you know, we saw some pullback, you know, there was COVID, and then there's post COVID, and we saw some, you know, everybody's kind of, maybe some people kind of going back to retail. And so we've seen some pullback on sales. The longer you're in this game, more competition, the more everything. And so profitability is really, we focused a lot on profitability this year. And David, what are some things that we drilled into for profitability?
Absolutely. We focused a lot on pricing, how we had our products priced. You know, there's so many things that are out of our control as Amazon sellers. However, we are in control of price. And this is something that sometimes when you're launching a product, it's kind of a finger in the wind, like what price feels right. But we tested. We would move prices around. We do a 30-day look back, played around with a couple different softwares. We're right in the middle of testing a new software right now, which it's too early to tell whether I can endorse this one wholeheartedly. We're still learning and still looking forward to doing some look backs on it. But that was something that we did that I think really helped out with the profitability. The other thing that we did was we made it a point once a month to look through all of our expenses. And this is something that's not exciting. It's kind of boring, but the number of like software subscriptions or things that just auto renew once a year that we caught allowed us to be a lot more lean and cut out like any wasteful spending. And I think that that's just good business hygiene. It was something that I think moving forward, we're going to continue to do this. It's easy to let that one slip, but I think if you're a business owner, that's your responsibility, is to make sure you have a good idea of all the expenses running through your business. So, and we talked about cutting down ad spend, so I'm not going to go into a ton of detail here. And so I think the last thing is we're implementing a process for inventory and inventory management, specifically retiring products. We've talked about kind of killing our babies in that, like, we launch a product, it doesn't go well. What do you do with that? Well, we put in a process very recently where we're doing heavy discounts on pricing. It's going to generate cash flow, not necessarily profitable sales, but it's going to help us kind of get rid of that inventory, liquidate that inventory, and move on so we can focus on our high performers. And so that's something that inventory management is very important in this industry. And it's something that we're trying to strike that balance between never going out of stock and carrying way too much inventory. And that is a delicate balancing act, especially when you have lead times of 120 days out of China. It makes it tough to react. And so that's one of the reasons that we like having manufacturing on U.S. soil, is that 120 days can be cut down to 10. And in some instances shorter, because we have full control over manufacturing. Yeah. The next one, and Ken, I'm going to let you start with this one. We implemented the entrepreneurial operating system from the book Traction. So talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And so EOS, so Traction, if you haven't read the book, go grab it and read it. If you're, you know, if you're a couple of years into your business and you maybe you have a small team, it could be very helpful for you. I think I'm trying to remember off the top of my head, Gino Wickman, I think, wrote the book Traction. Side of it, he describes EOS, which stands for Entrepreneurial Operating System. And at the high level, it's just basically an organized system of processes to how an entire business should function together and keep everybody on task, as well as there's an entire planning and review, and it's done weekly, monthly, quarterly, and annually. And so by implementing all of these, this structure into your business, it essentially is like the heartbeat of your business. It's a pulse, and it just continuously repeats and improves. At a high level, hopefully I gave it justice on the description.
I would agree with you. And, you know, one thing that we did when we started this, we decided that we were going to follow the book to a T. We were going to go through every step. We were going to fill out every worksheet. And once we had done all of that, we could kind of stop and see what we think is relevant or what we would want to do in future years. One of the things that the book suggested was, when you're planning out your next year, is to have at least a 2-day offsite planning session. And I honestly, when I read that, I'm like, I don't know if we're going to do that. Like, why don't we work from home, we work remotely, why don't we just do it that way? But we decided to stick to the book, and we did. We got a conference room at a hotel, and we shifted all of our meetings. And for 2 days, we were solely focused on mapping out 2023. And that was awesome. And at night, we ate like kings. And like, it was fun. It was a fun thing to do. It was exciting. And, you know, I'm really glad that we did that. One thing that I'm really glad that we did was we had hired an operations manager to help with this. And this is an area where I think, admittedly, you and I know we're weak in terms of like structure, like this long-term planning. And our operations manager is awesome in this department. He complements our skill sets. And so he helped facilitate this implementation. And I don't think we would be as far as we are without him.
Absolutely. I totally agree. Now, EOS, if that's something that, you know, you need in your business, something like that, there's a couple different ways to implement it. You can hire like an implementer and they'll come in and do that. It's a very costly option. And so we opted to self-implement. And I think the only reason we were successful in doing that is because our operations manager had previous experience with EOS, and he essentially carried us, to be honest, like, and spoon-fed everything. And so I would say, like, from start to finish, it was probably a 6-month process. We essentially read every chapter in that book and had like book studies, and we documented it. Only once we were completely through that book is when we started. And then we started slowly, methodically. We followed it to a T, and I think 3-4 months into having fully implemented it, and we're already starting to see the benefits of that. And so I would say that's one of the highlights of this year in terms of the entire portfolio companies of making progress. It was implementing EOS. So it's really, really awesome. David, as we're kind of looking out into 2023, what are some things on the roadmap we can share?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that fully implementing this EOS is going to be, you know, we kind of started at mid-year. And so 2023 is going to be our first full year. And I am really excited about that. You know, one thing that we realized is that our employees like it as well. They know what is expected of them. They know what they need to focus on over the next quarter. And from that standpoint, that's been great. And so I think that's going to be an area of focus definitely for the next year.
Absolutely. Next thing here, I think David alluded to it earlier, but we're in the process of building what we're calling product launch machine. And essentially, you know, we spent the last year focusing on expanding into new sales channels, and we haven't launched a ton of products. We've launched some small products here and there, but we didn't have a huge focus on it. And so 23 is going to be a year where we focus a lot on launching products, and we're a really, really extensive process. We're excited to kind of share it with everybody when we're done, but we're calling it Product Launch Machine, and it's an A to Z, just an all-inclusive process of taking, you know, of launching products to your, into your e-commerce business. And so I'm really, really excited about that. It's really going to be the engine for the company.
Definitely. Definitely. I would say one of the last things that we're going to focus on 2023 is an increased engagement with our customers. You know, I think on Amazon, it's easy to get caught up in keyword ranking and indexing and PPC. But in reality, on the other side of that transaction, you've got a customer, you've got a human being, you've got somebody that you are providing value to. That I think we're, you know, through email marketing, through asking our customers, what do you want, through engaging, you know, in our private Facebook and really asking our customers what they want, and then trying to deliver that, I think is going to be really helpful and really fulfilling. And so I think everybody likes a company that listens to their customers. And that's something that I think we've done an okay job of, but I think we're going to do an even better job of it in 2023.
Yeah, absolutely. And one other thing too is something to share with the audience is it's oftentimes we don't spend enough time reflecting on our wins. If you haven't done that in a while, you know, this is a grueling, you know, job. Like, you know, it's a grinding job. And so it's really, really important. Myself, I don't do enough of it. I'm glad we have it. We kind of have it baked into our weekly schedule now to talk about wins and progress. And so if you don't do that, I would highly recommend finding time in your schedule to just sit back and reflect on wins and the progress that you've made, because oftentimes it gets overlooked and it can really like brighten your day and your spirits, and you're like, oh yeah, you know, I accomplished that and we did this. And so it'll help you, give you momentum to accomplish more. Yeah. And the last piece that I have is, you know, make sure you're having fun while you're working and while you're doing what you're doing, because you're doing it for yourself. If you're in e-commerce and you're building a business, you know, build in some fun, build in some things that you like and you enjoy, craft your schedule to where you know, your life is enhanced by it, not degraded. And so sometimes we overlook this stuff. And, you know, David and I have made an effort this year to kind of bake some of that stuff into our schedule, modify it and just to have fun and enjoy the time.
In terms of like having fun, we had a partner's retreat, which was a fishing trip down in Arkansas, which is super fun.
Yeah.
And I remember during that, you said, hey, would you ever be interested in staying in a yurt? And I'm like, hell yeah, that sounds freaking awesome. And so, yeah, I mean, we could jump on a Zoom call, or we could go hang out in the woods in a yurt or go on a fishing trip or whatever. And so glad that we've done that. I'm glad that we're continuing to carve off time for that. And yeah, it's easy to get stuck in the grind, stuck in your office. And what I think what we've both found is a lot of our best ideas come when we're outside the office. And so it's puzzling why you spend so much freaking time in the office.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like the creative juices come out when you're relaxed, I think. When you're in the office and all tensed up and focused, for me at least, but like fishing or hanging out, and then ideas start flowing. And so, yeah, that is crucial. But yeah, we'll have to next year what our retreat was. And so if you've listened this long, thank you. And if, you know, you want to share some of your wins for the year, you know, hit us up on social media. You can hit us up on email, David@firingtheman or Ken@firingtheman.com. Shoot us over, share some of your wins, you know, and maybe we'll share them on a future episode or something. Soon to come, we're going to be sharing our goals for 23 few weeks. So stay tuned.
Absolutely. All right. Thanks everyone for tuning in, and we'll see you next week. Before you go, we wanted to share a new service that Ken and I have been using called Getida that has made us over $10,000 in Amazon reimbursements. The service requires no monthly subscription, and Getida collects a small percentage of the money they recover for you. It takes less than 5 minutes to set up and works on all Amazon marketplaces. Go to Getida.com, G-E-T-I-D-A.com, and enter promo code FTM400. That's FTM for Firing the Man 400 to get your first $400 in reimbursements commission free. How much money does Amazon owe you?